We're talking with Dr. Bart Fisher, of course, from Texas A&M, of course, Oklahoma native, and glad to have him back here in central Oklahoma meeting with the wheat producers. But, Bart, let's maybe talk about two or three things real quickly, if we might. First of all, 2023 Farm Bill, around the corner. You've worked on foreign policy as former chief economist of the House Ag Committee. How important is this piece of legislation that we'll be in the next 12 months trying to put together?
Sure. Well, thanks, Ron. It's good to be with you today. You know, in terms of the Farm Bill, I mean, it's incredibly important, right? And I think you need to look no further than what producers are going through this year with skyrocketing input costs. Certainly, we have higher commodity prices, but producers are putting in a tremendous amount of money on the line to get that crop in the ground. And so, you know, the Farm Bill underpins all of that, and it provides the risk management tools that producers, one, you know, that they use to be able to secure financing to get that crop in the ground, but it's also there to ensure that if disaster does strike, that they can live to fight another day. And it's looking like, I mean, between input prices and certainly with respect to Oklahoma, the drought that's raging in the western part of the state, that safety net is incredibly important.
Right. It seems that we're seeing more and more maybe money directed toward crop insurance. It's almost we've got more money in crop insurance than the safety net these days.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, folks who when I served on Capitol Hill, folks who came through, you know, would constantly highlight, particularly farmers and bankers, would highlight that crop insurance is the cornerstone of the farm safety net. And I think they're absolutely right. I have yet to meet a farmer, who, I mean, they may be able to make it a year or two if they're able to self-finance, but even them, eventually that catches up with them. And so most resoundingly, I hear everywhere I go that crop insurance, you know, has to be protected. And that was certainly the focus over the last couple of Farm Bill cycles. But with that said, too, I think, you know, the more traditional farm policy that's more focused on income support, you know, remains incredibly important, right? Because producers, you know, they put a lot of money on the line and margins are really small. And you can only handle so many years in a row of really low, either low prices or low margins. And so to me, despite the fact that crop insurance attracts a lot of attention, that entire the entire suite of the farm safety net's incredibly important.
And it seems that, you know, we've had so many dollars poured in through the coronavirus, various programs, but there's been just a tremendous number of dollars that have gone to agricultural producers over the last couple of years.
There is. I mean, if you look at the last 3 years, I think 19 to 21 alone, there's about $100 billion that was infused into American agriculture. The challenge is that I shudder to think of what ag would look like had that not happened. But, you know, starting with the market facilitation, you know, and the trade war with China, culminating then with, you know, the coronavirus food assistance program, I mean, has really helped, you know, help keep producers afloat. And in a couple of those years, net income would have been roughly half of where it ended up had it not been for the federal government stepping in. And so I think the challenge now, you know, looking forward is that with high input prices, but with ad hoc assistance drying up, where does that leave producers? And so you have a lot of growers scratching their heads wondering, you know, exactly how am I going, you know, am I going to pull back on fertilizer that I'm putting in the ground? Things like that as they try to figure out how to navigate this year.
I guess what, literally, as you mentioned, you know, when you look at the federal farm safety net versus those extra ad hoc monies, is that a problem for the guys who've got to write this 2023 bill?
I think it absolutely could be. It'll certainly be a challenge. You know, if you look for corollaries, we really go back about 20 years to the 2002 Farm Bill. Larry Combes from West Texas was chairing the House Ag Committee at the time, and there had been an infusion of ad hoc aid due to the collapse in the farm economy in the late 90s, and they ended up adding about $60 billion to the farm safety net during that Farm Bill. And so you see a lot of similarities with where we are right now that, you know, the farm safety net, for example, right now isn't designed to counteract these high input prices we're seeing. And so a big question is, will Congress step in and try to rectify that? You know, I think the big open question is, are they able to do that against this backdrop of where our country stands in terms of debt, right? And it's a matter of balancing those two things. And right now our country is $20 trillion or $30 trillion in debt. And so I think that's probably going to be the biggest driver, particularly, you know, if we see Congress flipping in this next election.
$20 trillion, $30 trillion, you know, what's $10 trillion among friends, right?
Well, you know, when I went to Capitol Hill 10 years ago, or now it's 11 years ago, I guess, if you look over the course, and 11 years ago when Mr. Lucas, for example, was starting to write the 2014 Farm Bill, all of the talk was about reducing the deficit. And to this day, the 14 Farm farm bill, I think, to my knowledge, and certainly in recent memory, is the only farm bill that's ever reduced spending. And so that farm bill cut $23 billion, and Mr. Lucas kind of had to navigate those troubled waters and was able to get it done. But in the 11 years since, if you look at the federal government as a whole, debt has doubled since that point. And so if debt was driving the discussion 10 years ago, I can only imagine once we do start to climb out from under COVID and members of Congress start looking at where our country stands from a fiscal standpoint, I can't help but think that it's going to be a big part of the discussion once again.
You had a hand in helping basically navigate that 2014 bill, and the ARC and PLC programs that were put in place then are still around.
They absolutely are, and they were largely maintained with a few tweaks. I was there for the 2018 Farm Bill as well, and they were largely left intact. You know, it's interesting to me. I go back to those days of working for Chairman Lucas, and at the time prices were pretty high, and a lot of the undercurrent that you would hear in that debate is that, well, we don't need farm policy. We have high prices. High prices are here to stay. And, you know, I think on a nearly daily basis, Mr. Lucas had, you know, to push back against that notion. You know, the experience he has in navigating Washington, I think, came in very handy because he was able to help show folks that, you know, these high prices don't always stay. And so we were able to get ARC and PLC in place, and thankfully we ended up in the 7 years that followed in a multiple year price decline, where PLC in particular ended up coming in incredibly handy for producers who were having to navigate stormy waters.
Right. And, you know, you mentioned Mr. Lucas up for re-election again. And it looks like, you know, if the Republicans are able to assume a majority in the House, he could be, he indicates he will be back on the House Ag Committee in time for, you know, the actual writing of this 2023 bill.
You know, and I have to be careful. I run a nonpartisan policy center now at Texas A&M, but, you know, having worked, I had a very unique perch having worked for the man for almost 4 years throughout the development of the 14 Farm Bill. And I think a couple of things that stand out to me is that, you know, if you were to line up all 435 members of the House, I think number one, in terms of knowledge about farm policy and probably in terms of delivering on behalf of farmers and ranchers, number one is probably Frank D. Lucas. And so I shudder to think of where American agriculture would be today were it not for all of the work that he's done over his tenure in Congress. And so certainly it's up to the people of the 3rd District of Oklahoma, you know, to make that decision. But in terms of the work that he has done for agriculture, I don't think you can overstate it. And, you know, on the point you make about the Ag Committee, you know, he did took leave from the committee in part because you had a lot of new members coming into Congress who needed committee assignments. But I think all of that was always with the expectation that he would be back on the committee. So
right.
I hope to see that happen. And regardless, you know, a lot of the other issues, it's not just agriculture. We have a bunch of environmental issues. And even from his perch on House Science Committee with oversight over EPA and all the issues we see there too, you know, there's a lot of work that can be done there as well. And so I won't weigh in on the election. I'll leave that to the good folks of Western Oklahoma to decide. But I'm certainly very grateful for the opportunity that I had to work for and learn from Chairman Lucas. Yeah.